Are you standing on the promises, or are you just sitting on the premises? Jesus presents a preview to the judgment in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents. Besides them, his Lord said to him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would receive back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is saying, in a nutshell, ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. Throughout the Gospels, we read of Jesus telling folks to get up and get going. In Matthew 9, verse 9, we find, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, Follow me. So he arose and followed him. On another occasion, Matthew 26, verse 46, Jesus told the 12, Rise, let us be going. Again in John 5, verse 8, Jesus said to the lame man, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. In Acts 26, verse 16, Jesus told Saul of Tarsus, Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Finally, in Matthew 20, verse 6, Jesus says, Why stand ye here idle all the day? Jesus is all about getting men and women to get up and get rid of their sin. Jesus expects his disciples to be on fire for the kingdom, rallying their brothers and sisters and running the race with patience and perseverance. A man named Larry Walker always wanted to fly. The poor eyesight disqualified him from pilot status in the Air Force. So he got an idea. He hitched up 45 helium-filled balloons to his lawn chair, strapped himself in with some sandwich, a pellet gun, and a six-pack. Now, his plan was to hover about 30 feet above the backyard for a few hours, then shoot enough balloons to come down. But he miscalculated. 45 weather balloons holding 33 cubic feet of helium apiece do not settle at 30 feet. When his friends cut the cord, anchoring his lawn chair to the ground, Larry did not level off at 100 feet. Not at 1,000 feet. He stopped climbing at 16,000 feet. He was 3 miles up in the air, sitting in his lawn chair. At this height, Larry, of course, was reluctant to start shooting anything, and eventually drifted in his flying lawn chair into the airspace of LAX, LA International Airport. Well, after several hours, Larry decided to risk shooting a few balloons and eventually descended enough to get tangled up in some power lines where he was rescued. The FAA spokesman said, "We know he broke some part of the Federal Aviation Act, and as soon as we figure out which part it was, a charge will be filed." As they led Larry away in handcuffs, a reporter asked him why he did it. Larry said, "A man can't just sit there." Now, while we can hardly recommend this particular experiment, we can certainly find the sentiment that he expressed in the scriptures. Don't just sit there. Get up and get moving. Rise up, O men of God. Get up and go. The Bible teaches, I've got a work for you to do. When Joshua and Caleb went to spy out the promised land, they brought back a good report saying, "Get up and go possess the land that flows with milk and honey." But the other 10 spies brought back a negative report. "We are but grasshoppers in their sight." They urged the people to stay put. And the people listened to the doubters and the naysayers. Their stalling cost them, the adults, the promised land. When David went to survey the battle, he found his brothers were just hanging around. As soldiers in the army of the Lord, they should have been defending God's people and defending God's honor, challenging or taking the challenge of Goliath. But instead, they were just loitering about while Goliath insulted God and his people. David's response, though, reflected the same attitude as the man who took a ride on his lawn chair. A man can't just sit there. The difference is, David was on a mission for God. Esther, the beautiful young Jewess, was placed in a position to rescue her people from wicked Haman's racially motivated attack on the Jewish people. She trembled at the prospect of coming before her husband, the king, uninvited, knowing her life hung in the balance. Mordecai, who adopted her after she was orphaned, challenged her to step up in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther met the challenge and helped preserve the Jewish people. Listen, God has a special place in the kingdom for you, for all of us, every last one of us. And you've got to be rising to the occasion. You've got to heed the commands of the Lord. You must obey the gospel if you haven't done so. You must turn away from religious error if you haven't done that, and walk in the light of His Word. I want to ask you tonight, are you sitting in the seat of the slacker? God says, you can't just sit there. In the parable of the talents, we see that God invests in those who enter the kingdom, and He expects to make good on that investment. The talent was a large amount of money. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says the silver talent was worth over $2,000 and the gold talent over $30,000. But that was 100 years ago. Some estimate today that the gold talent would be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Great value, treasure that they had. Certainly, in this parable, the idea of being a good money manager inheres in the passage. But Jesus also stresses here the squandering of one's abilities and opportunities and how that angers the Lord. So what are you going to do with the opportunity to live another day? God gave you this day, and if you're so fortunate that He gives you tomorrow, to make a difference for the kingdom. Are you going to use it or are you going to bury it? Why should God give you another day if you plan to just sit around until the time comes for Him to take you? We see from the men given 2 talents and the man given 5 talents that God doesn't demand the same from each of us. But we also see from the 1 talent man that God expects to make something off His investment in our lives. Are you giving back or are you just sitting around? Solomon instructs the lazy man to study the ways of the industrious ant in Proverbs 6, verse 6. The Holy Spirit echoes this moral imperative in Romans 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We need to understand that God loathes laziness in both our physical and spiritual labor. While none of us should feel that we can meet the standard of the Apostle Paul's 10-talent work ethic, his enthusiastic humility is a great model for Christian living. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Dwight Moody uses humor to illustrate the importance of not comparing ourselves to others, but comparing ourselves to our own potential. A lady came up to him and criticized him, saying, "You know, I don't like the way you do personal work." He humbly agreed, "You know, I'd like to find a better way to do personal work myself. I need a lot of improvement." He followed this up with, "How do you do personal work?" She was kind of taken back by the question and said, "Well, I don't do personal work." He said, "Well, I prefer the way I do personal work to the way you don't do personal work." While each of us should feel deeply the obligation to serve the Lord, we must compare what we do to our own potential rather than comparing ourselves to other individuals who've been given different abilities and opportunities. That said, I think it's fair to say that every Christian should be talking to at least one person who is not a Christian every week about the gospel, about the church, about Jesus. If you don't know anyone to talk to, go and find someone. I love seeing and hearing about some of the great things going on in our brotherhood. One sister brings 20 people to one service at a gospel meeting. Another shy sister, just a babe in Christ, sets up 15 Bible studies in about a year. Another brother who had brain surgery, couldn't drive for 20 years, now doing better, sets up a Bible study, going door to door. 20 members of one congregation where there's not a full-time evangelist working with them, 26 members going door to door in preparing for a gospel meeting. You could be the catalyst at your congregation. But you have to remember, you can't just sit there. Perhaps the most dangerous seat of all is the seat of the procrastinator. Don't just sit there. Once you know what you need to do to become a Christian the Bible way, once you've seen that your worship is not scriptural, not found in the New Testament, once you realize that you've drifted away from God, you can't just sit there. Why not live a life where you can say at the end, "No excuses, no regrets." The Apostle Paul's life never wavered from the principle, you can't just sit there. Before his conversion, no one more aggressively pursued what he believed was right. When, however, he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, Paul went through an amazing transformation. You can read the details of his conversion in Acts 9, 22 and 26. As soon as he realized that he was wrong, he was ready to get up and get going. Acts 9, verse 6 through 9, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And he did. He arose, and he went, and he heard the gospel. And in Acts 22, verse 16, he was told, "And now Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're in one of these conditions, don't just sit there.